Today's show is brought to you by Vinyl Me Please. Join the Record of the Month Club at joinvmp.com/songspodcast. Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do want to give you a friendly reminder that each and every episode comes with a unique playlist via Spotify or Apple Music. You can go to songspodcast.com or scroll down to the description of this episode and click on a link to the playlist, Apple Music, Spotify. They are there for you to experience the songs that we talk about on each and every episode. Thank you so much, and let's get right to it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack. We are back with continuing round one of the 80s March Madness Championship Tournament, because it is March Madness. I am Glenn Rodriguez, and with me is Sean Hebert. How you doing, buddy?
Awesome. Missing my wife because she's away right now. Love you, babe, but I'm doing good. Me and the dog are just hanging out here, about to go over this bracket.
Nice. So, where we left off, we had some fun last week. A lot of good songs moved on. We had a little bit of a controversial call. I had someone tell me Prince should have went over Def Leppard, but, you know, it happens. It's opinions.
It's opinions. And, yeah. You know, make your own fucking podcast, huh?
Dude, that was a dead on impression of Vilver. That was good. You, that was good. So yeah, we had a lot of fun last week. We're going to continue on here. Let's just get right into it, shall we? I mean, this is what the people have come for. They want to see who moves on next. And our first matchup of the day in the first round, we're still going on the left side of the bracket, is Got My Mind Set on You by George Harrison and Sweet Child O' Mine, Guns N' Roses. I'll let you start this one.
I am voting for Got My Mind Set on You, and I know that is a huge why, and especially for me, because, you know, everybody's like, oh, fucking Slash, man, you're a guitar player and shit. But just because I play guitar doesn't mean I have to fucking like Slash, all right? I think he's a corny fucker, and he's overrated as a guitar player. There, I said it. Fight me. You know, GNR is a good band. But tell me that you've never had the hook to Got My Mind Set on You stuck in your head for hours. I fucking dare you. It's just a catchier song. I'm sorry. It just is. In my opinion. Now, I'm not saying that I fucking hate Guns N' Roses in any way. Sweet Child of Mine's a great song. Their whole back catalog is good. I don't know. These two songs, for some reason, Got My Mind Set on You is a stand. It's just better to me. But you let me go first. Now you have to try to change my mind.
I'm not going to, because this is why I thought you were going to pick the other one.
Oh, nice.
I'm picking George Harrison because, well, A, is my favorite Beatle, obviously. Yeah. I feel like he was the most talented one in the group. You can fight me on that if you want to. And this song is always stuck in my head every time I hear it, and I'll be stuck in my head for weeks. I think Sweet Child of Mine is a great song. I really do think it's overrated, though. I always thought My Michelle was the best song off of Appetite for Destruction. You could fight me on that as well. I just think I Got My Mind Set on You is just a great, great track. And it's just like, if you listen to the music that all the rest of the Beatles put out, like after they left the band and went on their own way, like this one is the most, to me, the most eclectic sounding song out of all the... I haven't really listened to it. It's such a great chorus.
It's so good, dude. Yeah. Like, come on. If you don't like that song, you don't have a fucking heart.
It is true.
Again, you know, Sweet Child of Mine's a great song, and I can kind of get it stuck in my head, but for some reason, like, if I think of that lyric, you know, in the chorus of that George Harrison song. It's just it's an instant earworm.
Yeah, agreed. So we both agree, which is great. I guess we'll save the arguments for...
Yeah, it's just funny because as a guitar player, there's a lot of shit like that where people are like, oh, well, you must love this band. And it's like, no, I actually fucking hate that band.
There's
a lot of shit like that that's just like, you're expect, like, people, you know, fucking play Stairway to Heaven. It's like, I purposely didn't learn that song or listen to it much because of that stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. So George Harrison's moving on to the second round, which I'm happy about. All right, next up we got Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran versus Just Like Heaven by The Cure. I'm going to start this one off. I'm going to preface this by saying I love Duran Duran. I think they're a great band. I think they represent the 80s pretty well. But I think Hungry Like the Wolf is so annoying. It's annoying to me. It's so annoying. Every time it comes on, I just want to throw my phone against the wall.
Like, really?
I've been playing this the playlist for our show, the full 32 songs, and I always skip over it. So I could just get to The Cure, because I love The Cure. The Cure has
I love both of these bands, dude. Well, Duran Duran, I love all the songs that I know by them. That's what I'll say.
I like Ordinary World. That's my favorite Duran Duran song. And I think that came out in 1991, 1990, something like that.
Yeah, so it doesn't qualify. It
doesn't qualify, or I probably would have been like, we need to put that in there because it's great. I love that song to death. But like, Just Like Heaven is a fun, it's catchy. I mean, they're both catchy. I think that's maybe why I hate Hungry Like the Wolf. I don't know.
It's very in the other direction of catchy. You know,
and it always reminds me of that scene from Old School that just annoys me every time I watch that. Andy Dick is so annoying. But anyway.
He's such a weird human.
Yeah, he is. He's funny sometimes, but I don't know. But I'm just gonna go Just Like Heaven because I love The Cure. I love this song a lot. It's the first Cure song I ever heard of, so for that reason, why I'm picking them.
These two songs against each other, though. Like, Hungry Like the Wolf, I feel like I rock out to that song when I'm by myself in the car. It's that kind of song for me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But I definitely have more Cure on my phone. I was going to say my iPod, but it's not 2008 anymore.
It's technically an iPod still, though. It's an iPod with a phone.
It's an iFamily product. And they still make iPod touches, which, like, you know, they're trying to act like not everybody puts themselves in debt to get an iPhone.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyway, I think I'm going to have to agree with you in that, like, it's only because I don't really know much more about Duran Duran's back catalog other than, like, the big, huge hits. I've listened to way more Cure. And between these two songs, because last week we did say it's, you know, it's about the songs that are pitted against each other. Yeah, Just Like Heaven.
Hey.
But I can't believe you just hate the song in general, Hungry Like the Wolf. That's what I was reacting to. It's like, what?
Oh, I know. I'm just not a fan of it. Like, literally, every time it comes on, I change it. It's just... I don't know. I don't really like the beginning of it.
I can see where the melody gets annoying. It's kind of like a schoolyard kid poking fun at you, kind of.
I was going to see which one of us was going to do the humming of that, but all right. Moving on to what I think.
Do we have to do this one?
We have to do this one.
I know we have to, but it's like I don't want to.
This is going to be the highlight of the tournament for me. This was like a matchup. This is one of those matchups that you don't get in the first round. This is
Thank you to whatever random number generator you used. It didn't even know what it was doing at this time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like randomizer.org or something. Oh, man. So here we go. This is literally, you don't get this matchup in the first round. This is like epicness right here. We're going to go Africa by Toto versus Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. Head explosion.
Oh, man. Feels about both of these songs.
Yeah.
Feels about both of them. You know, recently Weezer put out that Africa cover, which I think we can both agree was awesome. Fucking great. They did such a good job covering this song. It's Africa's a timeless jam. It really is. I hear it almost every day if I listen to the radio at work too at like the same time every day. Yeah. But Don't You Forget About Me. Huge feels at the end of The Breakfast Club. And I think that's what most of us really think about when we think about this song is, you know, walking away on the football field, Bender's walking away on the football field, you know. I think that's what we all think about. Yeah. And that it's just huge feels, and the song's great too. I'm casting my vote though on the strength of just the song alone to Africa. By okay. Toto.
By Toto. Oh man. So this is a tough one. I have, like you said, both feels. I have a personal connection to Africa because of, like, you know, my experiences when I first turned 21 and going out and all that good stuff. This was the closing time. This was the last call song before the lights went on at Echoes in North Wildwood, where we grew up. And I always liked that. And, like, you know, just I remember those moments. I don't know why, but I do. But Don't You Forget About Me is just, there's something about that song that I like much better than Africa. And that's saying something, because I'm known to be like an Africa by Toto freak. Like, that's my song. If we're going to go strength and like where it is in the world today, and like, you know, it's a meme now, we go Africa for sure. And if we go what song's better, I think Don't You Forget About Me is better.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so Don't You Forget About Me musically has like a semi-ominous feeling to it, and like an undertone. I don't know if ominous was the right word. Somber, maybe? Yeah, that's better. Yeah. That's better. I just feel like on the strength of this, the song Africa, like it fucking gets your blood going, dude.
Yeah, it definitely
like
does.
I've been in a bad mood at work. Like in the morning, I didn't want to fucking be there, and I turned on the radio, dude, and Africa was on, and I was just like, dude, I've Snapchatted you that how many times?
Yeah.
Just my phone next to the shitty speaker at work, blaring Africa.
Now, is it Africa by Toto or is it Africa by Weezer, though?
It's Africa by Toto.
Okay.
It's the OG Africa.
Okay.
Not to say that Weezer's version is bad.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It's very good. And I honestly, when I heard they covered it, I kind of winced a little bit.
I think a lot of people did. Yeah. Yeah.
They did a good job.
And
also Africa, because of the eclectic nature of just straight up, I mean, there's woodwinds in there. Like, they have so many different instruments in that song.
That's true. You're right. Yeah, if we're going to go based off, like, kind of things like that, too, like, that Africa does make me a lot more happy when I hear it. Like, I love Don't You Forget About Me, and it's an anthem, but, like...
But that's also a song that you could, like, Don't You Forget About Me, though, on to come at it from your side. You could listen to that, like... in a sad situation, you know what I mean? It would fit perfectly.
Yeah, but like I do get hype when I hear Africa. It's like, all right, turn that up. And it's like, and it's not even like, you know, it's the interlude with the bongos and like,
yeah,
and like, and then you hear that keyboard coming, do 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 do, do. Like, and then it's like, it's good, it's so good. So yeah, all right, let's just settle it. Africa wins.
Yeah, I think we would probably get, one of us would get our house fucking Molotov'd if we didn't pick Africa.
That's true. That's true.
So, wow, that means that Just Like Heaven versus Africa is happening at some point.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right, cool.
It would have been a lot funner. It would have been a lot more fun. Funner. A lot more fun if we would have seeded these. Because then, like, you know, that matchup might not even have happened. I don't know. It's right. It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. But let's move on.
Yeah. So next up we have Sweet Dreams Are Made of These versus With or Without You. Do you want to go first on this? Because I'm still on the line. I'm still very on the line, and they're way different. They're violently different songs.
Violently different songs, yes. I love U2, one of my favorite bands. The song has a lot of meaning in my life, a lot, but it is a great song, and the lyrics are great, and the way it makes me feel, and every time it comes on, like, I get all these memories and things, and I have connections with it, and it's a strong song. But like Sweet Dreams is just fun, and like go ahead.
It's fun, and you could, not the Marilyn Manson version, but the Marilyn Manson version was awesome.
Oh yeah,
and it kind of broke his whole career wide open.
Yes, it did.
You know,
watching that.
Definitely owes, you know, a bit of gratitude.
Well, I was watching his cover of that on the box back in the day.
Oh, shit. That video played as much as fucking Kid Rock's Ball with the Ball did.
Yeah, it did. And anytime I hear this song in general, if it's not even the Eurythmics version, like, I went to Fits in the Tantrums, and they played a song, and then they kind of broke it down and kind of just started talking to the audience, and then they went right into this for like a minute or two, and like everyone in the crowd was singing. Like, no, like, even if you didn't know the lyrics, magically you knew the lyrics because it's just that, like, caught in your head.
Everybody knows the lyrics to this song. This is one of those internationally, like, everybody knows the lyrics to this song.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty sure you can play this song in any country, even where they don't know English, and they'll fucking sing along to it.
Agreed.
You know, one thing I will say about U2 is I like a lot of their songs, man. I do. I really, really do. And they write good songs. But I hate Bono. I hate his face. I hate, like, yeah, he gives to charities and stuff. I guess he's a good guy. I just don't like the fact that he has a big enough ego to go by one fucking name. And the same thing with the guitar player, dude.
Oh, The Edge?
Same thing with, yeah, dude, The Edge. I'm sorry, but, like, you're not that, he's good. He's a good guitar player, but he's not that fucking good to have a single name. Hell, Paul Gilbert goes by his damn real name, and his name's Paul Gilbert.
Paul Gilbert.
That dude will shred anybody's face off, like, even today. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, but the music they make together is so good that, like, I can't say With or Without You is not equally as good as Sweet Dreams, but I think that I'm going to have to go with Sweet Dreams just because it's such a good damn song. And yeah. Again, it's an earworm. I'm not saying With or Without You is not, because I've definitely, like, it's been in so many movies and TV shows. It's not even funny.
Yeah. And it's just Sweet Dreams gets you hype. It's a feel good song. Dance to it. It's always on.
And it's been sampled a trillion times.
Yeah. So I agree with that. And I was, you know, as much as I love With or Without You, and it has a very special place in my heart, within their discography and in just in general. Yeah. We're going to go Sweet Dreams on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. They clicked. I do like some U2 songs. I think the Joshua Tree was a great record. They're a good band. I just don't like their personalities, man. They're like big headed douches.
Yeah.
But yeah. You want to usher in the next, or do you want to take a commercial break?
Yeah, let's take a commercial break because we got two more.
Two more matchups.
So,
yeah, we're going to do two more matchups after this break. And then I think we're going to talk a little bit about some music news / controversy here on Songs for the Moment. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And welcome back to Songs for the Moment. Thank you for listening to those words from our sponsors. We're going to get right back into the bracket. And up next, we have Come On Feel the Noise versus Under Pressure. two very, very good songs and very widely different areas of music entirely. Under Pressure is a really, really good song. I like it a lot. Probably one of the best collab songs ever. Come On, Feel the Noise, though, is probably one of the top rock songs you think of when you think of the 80s, personally. That's what I think. Anyway, what do you think, Glenn?
I agree with that statement. I would agree with that. If we're going to go... this could be a controversial pick if we went one way. If we went the other way, it's perfectly like what people would think. If we're going to go what the better song is, for me, it's definitely Under Pressure. And the way that makes me feel every time I hear it. And it's, you know, it's Bowie and Freddie Mercury. And you can't beat that.
Yeah.
You know?
Arguably the two best singers of our time. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. There was something that Freddie Mercury said in the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, which I don't know if you've seen it. I saw it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I definitely seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, critics said it was sucked, but apparently they don't know what the hell they're talking about. But yeah, there was something that Freddie said in that movie. He was like, I couldn't sing off key if I tried. And dude, it's true. Like, guy's voice was incredible. And same thing with Bowie, man. Bowie's songwriting ability, his vocals, just, you know.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the fence, we have Come On, Feel the Noise. And it's one of those songs, like, you know, you have to finish singing the lyric if somebody starts it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, if somebody starts singing and they sing the first line, you in your head, you finish it. Girls, rock your boys.
We go wild, wild, wild. It's such an iconic song, too, and it's like, it's an anthem.
It's a total stadium anthem. Rock anthem, or arena rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is a tough one. I mean, it's two songs that are complete polar opposites of each other. They definitely have a big mark on the 80s. One's more, I guess, long-lasting, I guess. Or they could be, I mean, you could consider both of them long-lasting.
Yeah, they're both pretty long-lasting. And, you know, respect to obviously both Freddie Mercury and David Bowie. You know, David recently in the past couple of years, passed away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, have you, speaking of David Bowie, have you seen Flight of the Conchords?
No.
Oh my god. Okay, it's a show that used to be on HBO. They did a David Bowie skit. It's like a comedy music kind of thing. It's really good. Check it out.
I'll have to check it out for sure. So with that being said, this is a tough one to pick.
I'm making you pick first.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of on the fence here, but I know, like, I'm like 70-30.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Under Pressure because of, A, I think it's a better song, obviously, in my opinion, at least. I shouldn't say obviously, in my opinion. B, the long-lasting, I guess, cultural effects that it has. I just feel like it's two of the best rock stars of all time coming together and making a really great song. And three, Ice Ice Baby was definitely different than Under Pressure. I will fight anyone who is. I'm just kidding.
Well, theirs went din 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 din, and then his went din 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 din.
It's totally different.
Completely different, dude. It's completely different. How could you not get that? But I'm going to agree with you and go with Under Pressure. Okay. My reasoning is basically like, yeah, Come On, Feel the Noise is a great, great song, but it's not like a serious song. You know what I mean? It's more jokey. I mean, fuck the way they spelled the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I'm going to have to go with Under Pressure. It's more timeless, you know? Like, which one would you rather put on in front of your grandma?
Yeah.
You know? I think just Under Pressure deserves to move on.
Okay, so next we got Jesse's Girl versus 99 Luftballoon balloons.
We're just gonna call it 99 red balloons. Luftballoon. I don't know what the fuck the actual title is.
Lufty Luftballoons. By Nena or Nina and Rick Springfield does Jesse's Girl. So, this is kind of an easy one for me.
Oh yeah,
I don't really need me too. I don't really need to. I don't really need to argue it, but I'll let you.
Okay. So Jesse's Girl was on the first mix CD I ever made for my car when I got my license. It was like the first song on like this long mix CD I made. It's such a good driving song. It really, really is. Probably one of my favorite driving songs still. It's super catchy. I don't know if this was the one you were going to pick, to be honest with you. But yeah, Jesse's Girl is by far the better song to me on this matchup.
I agree too. I do like the other one a lot. I like Jesse's Girl just because it's more iconic, and I think more people have heard that one over 99 Red Balloons, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But you've definitely heard the song before. Like I had to look it up, but then as soon as the song started, I was like, oh shit, that's what that song's called.
So that's moving on. I like it.
Yeah.
Jesse's Girl versus who's going to win this next one, our final one of the day. We're still going to be in the first round. Next week, we'll be finishing the first round. So this one is kind of near and dear to my heart. I was actually really happy that this got paired up. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears and Your Love by The Outfield. This is a one-hit wonder versus a pretty prominent 80s band. They both have awesome memories for me. They both have specific memories. One, they played this Your Love at Echoes. This is another Echoes song. It's on the I Have an Echoes playlist, believe it or not. And it's always specifically from this one DJ that was there on like certain nights. And just a fun song to sing along to. Everybody Wants to Rule the World was playing when I was filming my film, The Birth and Death of the Day, and my two main characters who are actually dating in real life, they played, you know, like a love interest in the movie. They're actually married now, which is cool. Great actors. The one guy actor was singing to the actress this song. I mean, you don't hear them sing it in the movie, but like this was playing, and it's just a really cool, you know, little moment. But music wise, that's what we're here for.
It's about songs in the list, not the back catalog.
Yeah. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, I feel like, is a better song. I think it's a lot more iconic. The way it starts, I feel like it's a little bit better than Your Love, even though, like, Josie's... I forget how the beginning of that song goes. Your Love is Josie's on a vacation far away. That?
Yep.
I feel like I like the way Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's that like, like it's this like iconic.
It's more interesting in the beginning.
Yeah.
It grabs your attention faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm going to vote for Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Everybody Wants to Rule the World as well. But Your Love is a great song. I've had it in my head many times since that one, what is it? A Bounce commercial used it. Like they parodied it. Yep. It was incredible parody. But yeah, you're right. It's a complete one hit wonder. Not saying that the song's not good. It's just Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I think it grabs my attention a little bit more, you know? Your Love just feels more like a commercial, like get it out there, you know, kind of song.
Oh yeah. 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 And I'm selfish too. Like I've written out a whole opening credit sequence to my film Exit Zero to Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So like it just sets the tone of that film for me. So like I'm selfish. I have to pick that for that reason as well. Don't tell anyone though. It's a secret.
But yeah, obviously Everybody Wants to Rule the World is going to move on. And I think that's it for our matchups for this week. I think we're going to move over into our news section. I know Glenn had something he wanted to talk about.
So the German hard rock, shock rock gods are back. It's been 10 years. And obviously, when Rammstein does something, it comes with controversy. Always, someone's going to complain about something. So they came out with their first single off their album, next album that's coming out on May 17th. The song is called Deutschland, and it's that's Germany in German. It's the song is about Germany's past and what the future could be. Basically, like, you know, we love Germany, but there's also a dark side that we have to talk about, and we are condemning it. And the song is amazing. The music video is even better. It's their best music video to date. It's an epic production. But when they put out a teaser for the single and the music video that came out last Thursday, it was a clip of some of the members of Rammstein dressed up as concentration camp prisoners. And people in Germany, specifically a group, let me try to find the group's name here. I have the article here. It's actually not listed here. Anyway, there is a group, a Jewish adversary group, or not adversary, that's the wrong word. Advocacy group that was headed by someone who was in the Holocaust, was like, you're trivializing the Holocaust, this is disgusting, blah blah blah. And it just, you know, it got picked up by USA Today and Consequence of Sound, like a lot of mainstream
media
things. And obviously Rammstein has been known to like have lyrics about sex, sadomasochism, like violence and just crazy shit. They're just a shock rock band, and you know, they've been accused over the years of being Nazis, but they're very left wing. They're very against that. It's I think they're there to shock mothers and people than to be racist and bigoted and dangerous to society. They're very catchy. They broke through with their biggest hit in America was Du Hast back in the 90s. Yep. It kind of just took them, you know, people in America just started taking a liking to them. But the music video is very, very good. Like I said, it talks about the dark history of Germany's past. And if they waited to watch the whole video, they could have just not even put out a statement. You know what I mean? This advocacy group. I can't stop saying that. I want to say
advocacy. I got you.
Thank you, bro. They could just skip this mess, but it happened. But that's why I think Rammstein did that. I think it was very to get people talking. They're like, oh my God, what are they going to do? Because they don't talk about politics much in their music. They had a song kind of being critical of America at a time where, you know, the war in Iraq happened and all that stuff. And then they put out a song called Links 234, which is a song about being left-wing and liberal. So, which they are. And it's just an interesting time, I guess, to put stuff out like this because of the world we live in at this point. But man, they're back in a big way, and I can't wait for May 17th, man. I hope they come back to America, because rumor is this is their last record, and that makes me sad. But it also, they're going to end on a high note. They recorded five music videos for this. They filmed five music videos for this record release, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah. As far as like the outrage about it, I just think that's people, you know, like you said, Rammstein kind of just like likes to shock mothers, you know what I mean? That's a good way to put it. Like, this is they're a shock rock band. They're gonna do shit that's like tongue in cheek, and it doesn't mean that they're totally 100% serious about it.
Exactly.
Or maybe they're trying to make people think about it, about the overall subject, which they are doing. Or maybe they just did it because they're putting out an album soon and they want people to know that. And what's the best way to do that but to stir some shit up?
Exactly.
It's free publicity.
Yeah. And on the other side of the coin, the other part of the controversy is that far right and, the bad guys basically are mad that they used a African-American woman as the personification of Germany, which I thought was brilliant. It was a nice little
tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
And she's so good in the video too. Like, she is very what is the picturesque, she's the emotion that she has, it just, because like throughout the video and through different time periods that they look back at, she's in the scene. And you know, like, she's crying in some of the scenes. Like, she knows that, like, the country's going through this, but, you know, she's letting it happen, but she's crying for it. So it's a beautiful, like, you know, a lot of ironic, like, metaphors and stuff like that. And, like, you know, you got to check it out.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out later. I just haven't gotten a chance to look at much lately. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they did it just because it's free publicity, man. If they do something shocking, it's expected from their fans, so they're not going to lose any fans there. They're only just going to gain more eyes on them when they release their whole record. Because now people are thinking, oh, is the whole record like that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's good marketing. And, you know, it's also people overreacting, which is people love to fucking do these days. Love to overreact. But moving on, I wanted to talk about something. The band Slipknot's been in the news recently. Percussionist Chris Fain?
I call Chris Fine, but yeah, it's Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, Fenn. He was basically fired from the band after a legal dispute. He pretty much basically went on the internet and, like, publicly said that, like, Slipknot's been ripping him off for years and all this shit, not giving him his fair share. Something about all of their money was legally supposed to go into one corporation and then they would all get paid out from that corporation, but apparently the money was going a different way and he didn't know about it. So basically they kicked him out and they were like, you know, you could have gone about this a completely different way and not just made it public right away. You know, and as of this recording, I just pulled up an article that somebody said, basically Jim Root, his bandmate, said that he was butthurt and useless. So he's like, I can't believe everybody's so butthurt about a useless percussionist being fired from the band. I'd still love to see them regardless, but sadly, no Idaho date.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think something more happened. I think there was things that were said, and I think this was kind of the start of it. I think because it just doesn't sound like, I don't know, the whole case sounds fishy to me.
Oh, wait, I'm actually going to correct myself. It says Slipknot's guitarist Jim Root has offered his first public reaction to percussionist Chris Fain being fired after a legal dispute with the band. Root liked two Instagram comments by fans that trashed the percussionist as being butthurt and useless. So basically, he was like supporting that thought.
Yeah. He didn't say it directly, but he
didn't say it directly, but he backed the idea by clicking that like button, which, I mean, you know, I kind of agree with the band that if he had a legal money dispute, he should have brought it up to them. But at the same time, we don't know if he did. And then they tried to, like, you know, squash it and then whatever. We don't know what really happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still equally as pumped on the new Slipknot record because the song they released recently is fucking dope.
All Out Life, man.
So it's a great song, and I cannot wait for that record to come out, man.
And it just seems like it's like a story comes out every so often about bands and like, you know, a member leaves or members quit because of money issues. I mean, happened to Ghost. I mean, right now the former members of Ghost are appealing the court's decision in Tobias Forge's favor. Which a lot of people have said that they just appeal to give them more time to come up with the money they have to pay Tobias, because in Sweden apparently the losing party has to pay the other party's court fees.
Okay.
Which is pretty pretty crazy, but I guess that's how it works over there, and that's their loss. So I mean, this happens a lot. I hope it gets resolved. I don't like this at all. Like, I hate that, you know, members leave bands. I mean, it happens all the time, and, you know, there's always different reasons. But I hate it when it happens like this. This is, you know, he was a production or a percussionist. Didn't really, like, he was more a hype man on stage, which added to the theatrics and
stuff. Right. He was backup vocals and also the guy that did, like, the backup percussion, like keg drums and stuff.
Yeah. Him and Clown.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the new album comes out. They're on tour with Behemoth, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it's Behemoth, Volbeat of all people. And yeah. And some, I think Gojira is on there too.
Gojira, yeah. Gojira, I think, is on that tour too. Gojira's fucking awesome. But yeah, it was just basically Slipknot released a statement that said Slipknot's focus is making on album number 6, and our upcoming shows around the world are best ever. Chris knows why he's no longer a part of Slipknot. We're disappointed that he chose to point fingers and manufacture claims rather than doing what was necessary to continue to be a part of Slipknot. We would have preferred he not take the path that he has, but evolution in all things is necessary. That is a part of life. Yeah. So basically, it sounds like each party is like, is like, because his lawyer is like, my client is really just hoping to figure out why, figure out a way we'll work this out with the people he's worked side by side with for the past 20 years, which is what they wanted him to do privately.
Yeah.
You know?
Which he should have done it privately.
Yeah. It was completely dick move to just blow it up on the internet.
But in the end, we at the same time, we don't know actually what happened, and we'll just let the courts figure it out, or the people behind it, you know, figure it out, and we'll keep an eye out on I can't even talk.
We'll keep an eye out. But it's funny because most things like this, like you might not hear about what happens because they might just settle out of court and sign a thing. It's just you can't talk about it, but you're not a part of Slipknot anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I would do.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. I do want to read something to you guys. The matchups next week. The end of the first round. It's Take On Me by A-ha versus Jump by Van Halen. Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd versus Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue, which I will be talking about that movie on a separate piece of audio. Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode versus Rock the Casbah by The Clash. Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes, and Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper. That is next week. And then the second round will commence the week after, and we'll be having a guest. We're finalizing that for sure. There's going to be a third, so I think it'll, because the matchups are going to get tougher.
Yes,
and, they are. That's when we'll need a tiebreaker for sure. And yeah, other than that, you can follow us on all social media at Songs Podcast. You can go to songspodcast.com. for reviews. You can listen to the show on there, other playlists, and a whole bunch of more goodies. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RealGRod.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at SeanSongsCast. But go follow the main show's Instagram account, please. It is at SongsPodcast. We're going to be doing a giveaway soon. We're going to be announcing the details of that giveaway on the Instagram, and the giveaway is going to run for anywhere between like 2 and 3 weeks. Yes. So pay attention to that Songs Podcast Instagram.
And if you want to show us your ultimate support, go to patreon.com/songspodcast, where you can become a member of Team Songs Podcast. I guess that's what we'll be calling our peoples. Where you get merch discounts and ad free shows and so much more. And you can also go to merch.songspodcast.com for your merch needs. I got some cool t-shirts. We're gonna be coming out with some cool designs as well. But for me, Glenn Rodriguez, and Sean Hebert, this has been Songs for the Moment, where every moment has a soundtrack.
Later on, guys.